So let's, again, last time we got cut off in the middle with a fire alarm. So basically, the issue was Lav She'en Bo Ma'isa, right? Malchus or no Malchus, right? So we started to say as follows, that what is Malchus for? Right? We know the given is that you get Malchus for a Los Asay, and you don't get Malchus for an Asay, right? But what's the concept? So one way to learn it is, Pshat is that you don't get Malchus. Malchus is for a active rebellion, if you will. Right? If the Gavra is actively violating the Torah, right? So then he deserves a greater onesh. He has to be punished. We can't let a person actively violate the Torah, right? And passivity is less rebellious, if you will. The Gavra is less engaged in violating the Torah if he's passive, and that doesn't warrant onesh, right? So if that's the case, then Alav She'en Bo Ma'isa, he is being passive. Like, no, sir, he's not actively violating the Torah. He's just being passive. So that's like a lesser type of a sinner who's merely passive. And we don't give Malchus for that type of a sinner, a passive sinner. We only give Malchus for an active sinner. So that's going to go by not really Asay versus Lav as much as Maisa versus not Maisa. Right? Lu Yitzur would be possible to violate an Asay through a Maisa. I don't know, maybe you could even argue even that would get Malchus. You know, maybe not. But, you know, like the essential chiluk is one of active or not active. Right? So Lashem HaMaisa isn't going to get Malchus. Right, that's one side. That's the way we hold. But Rabbi Yehuda holds different. He holds that's not the idea. The idea is that the Torah, the Tayag Mitzvahs, you could say, could be broken up into two classes, which is Los Ases and Ases. Which we said is like Sur Meira Vase Tov. Is certain things the Torah says is bad for you, and you're not allowed to do it. Don't do it. This is bad. This is a negative. Bad for you, bad for society, bad for the world, whatever, but it's bad. These are evil. They're Ra. And you're not allowed to do it. And other things are Tov. They're Tovs, and Torah says, do it. There's an Asay. Do this. This is a good thing. Okay? So, Mrs. Asay are good things. Mrs. Los Asay are bad things. Right? Now, again, we said certain things are both. Like Shabbos, it's good to rest on Shabbos. It's bad to do malacha on Shabbos. Right? So sometimes there's an overlap. But that's a classification of mitzvahs, since Asay and Los Asay are things which are positive fulfillments, goods, and then negative violations, evils, bad. Right? And the halacha is, Malchus is when you do that which Hashem said is evil. Hashem says, don't do it. This is bad. And you do it. That's what Malchus is for. But if Hashem says it's good and you merely fail to do what Hashem says you must do, that's a failure. That's a failure to do a good, as opposed to where you're doing a negative. Right? So in Nosar, Hashem says it's bad to leave over the meat, the carbon. And you're leaving it over. Now you may not be actively engaged in doing it, but that's not the point. The point isn't whether you're actively engaged in doing it. It's the point is Hashem saying this is an evil, this is a ra, don't do it, and you're doing it. Right? So it's not the mode of violation that the Gavra is active as opposed to passive. It's the nature of the sin, the nature of the going against the Dvar Hashem, that he's saying this is an evil, don't do it, and you're doing it anyways. As opposed to you're just a failure to perform. Right? So that's the case. It's irrelevant whether it's Maisa or not. That's not the factor. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's position. The reason for the first way is saying is like an onesh, like we don't want to punish people in society. We're not just looking to go out and start punishing people. We have to punish people who are like threats to society. Right? Like, look, Hashem in theory should punish everybody. But the only thing is that people who are flagrant, you know, violators, we can't just allow, we can't have a society if people are going to be, you know, sinful. You have to have some sort of deterrent system. So what it's saying is that if a person is an active violator, that's entirely different. That's like a more rebellious. When you're willing to act, there's a natural resistance to a person to act. And when you do an action of a sin, that's like a higher engaged involvement in a breach of the system. And that person has to be stopped. As opposed to a person who's just sitting around. You sit around, it's like it lacks in rebelliousness. And punishments are for rebelliousness, because we have to stop rebelliousness. So again, passive resistance is like not is lax in rebelliousness. This leads us into what we thought we started with, is that the question is now, let's say you're a nikaf. Okay, you're a nikaf, means you're getting a haircut, right? So you're, what we're saying is you're passive. So we hold lav shein bo maisa ein lokan. So you need to be active. Okay, you need an active violation, not passive. Active. So Mar says nikaf is passive. So if you say we're a Yehuda, fine. It doesn't matter that you're passive, who cares? You're violating it's an isser, it's a lav. But if you say you have to be active, then why is nikaf chayev? Right? So the Gemara says, misayaya. That's Rava's answer, misayaya. Arashi, Arashi, misayaya. Right? That you're helping. And since you're helping, that counts as a maisa. You're helping, you're turning your head, you're picking up your hair. That's helping. And misayaya, that's considered maisa. But apparently, according to the one who asked this question, I guess Rav Chista and maybe Rava as well, they would say that's not considered a maisa, helping. So we have machlokas, assuming that lav shein maisa ein lokan, lav you need a maisa. There seems to be a sub machlokas about whether or not helping, lifting up your hair or your head or tilting your head in order to help the barber, is that considered maisa? Is that considered maisa such that you can say get malchus for lav sheish? It's like lav sheish maisa. Yeah, I think so. As you're saying, Elliot, this is like kind of what you're going at also, is that first of all, it's interesting, is that maisa apparently doesn't just mean that you're active in the plainest sense of the word. Like for instance, speech is not considered a maisa, right? So you could, in some sense, call you a maisa when you speak, but it seems like in terms of the sugya, it really means you have to be doing an action, like an action, a physical action. Okay, even though you're, the thing says that kimas vasayim is not a maisa. Even though when you speak, you move your lips, that's not considered a maisa. That just move motion. Motion isn't a maisa. Okay, and that's why similarly, I think, kind of saying is like tilting your head. That's not a maisa. Right? Tilting your head isn't the maisa. Picking up your hand isn't the maisa. The only reason why you'd say this is a maisa is because you're helping him give a haircut. Giving a haircut is a maisa. Right? But again, moving your head, that's not called a maisa. Even though like you might call that active in some form of the word, but active doesn't just mean you're moving. You know, active means you're doing an action. Right? Now, is moving your head, again, motion isn't an action. Motion is like tilt Obama. It's motion. Now, the question is, here, he's doing a maisa, and you are participating in it. Right? You are participating in his maisa, actively. Right? You're not just sitting there. If you're sitting there, you're not participating. He's doing it, and then you're just a recipient. But here, you're participating in it. You're a participant in his maisa. The question is does that give it a din maisa? Do you say that your action, in order to be defined as lav sheish ba maisa, you have to be doing a maisa, like in its own right, it has to have a quality of maisa per se, and moving your head is not a maisa. Moving your head is just moving your head, and it's just tilting, and it's moving, and whatever. And therefore, you don't get malchus unless you're doing something which is an action. You're like an active person. You're doing a maisa ha'adam. There's certain categories of maisa ha'adam. Moving your head is not a maisa ha'adam. Cutting is a maisa ha'adam, or whatever. There's a lot of different maisa ha'adam. Eating is a maisa ha'adam, but moving your head is not a maisa ha'adam. Right? And the onesh is only when you're doing a maisa ha'adam. It's like a chashivas of your engagement. You're doing an action. Or do you say that, like, if you're a concept, like when he's doing the action, you're a misayaya, so like conceptually, You're a chelak. You're involved in his maisa. So you say there is a maisa being performed, and you're a. It's like a two person action. There's the cutter and the helper, right? So it's like your motion is not just mere motion, but it's an assistant role in the maisa of doing a haircut. So it's like you could say you did a maisa when you look at the haircut as a whole. You could define what you did as a maisa. It's not just motion, but the motion becomes a chelak of a greater maisa. and you say there are two people engaged in the action of giving the haircut, right, a primary and secondary, but there are two people engaged in the action of getting haircut. But do you say you get Malkus when your din maisa is, like, so to speak, piggybacking on his din maisa? But you're active, your action in its own terms is not partake of the din maisa, but it gains equality of maisa agav the action which it's a part of, which it's assisting. Right? The other side holds that it has to be defined as a maisa in and of itself.
Independent.
It has to be defined as a maisa in and of itself. You have to be doing a maisa adam. Are you doing something which a person is in the list of maisa adam? This is not a maisa adam, this is motion. But, or do you say that, look, it's true, independently it isn't, but you have a right to define it as a, even if it's a maisa in context, as a chelek of the other thing, that's sufficient to get onash. Okay, so now we're going to go further. Further, it's a new aspect of the sugya, or this Mishnah. It's really a new sugya. Okay? So it says like this. I'm skipping a teeny bit. I feel we could read it. Mashas pasik now. Right? So if you cut the corners of your beard.
So where is
it? So we're on Chafam Abdez.
Yeah.
It's like 10 lines from the bottom. Mashas pasik now is the beginning of the line.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
So it says, Mashal Pasigna. So that's the case. So you cut the corners of your beard. Tanur Rabbanan, Pasigna, Sofit Signo, the end of your beard. Ezu Sof Signo, what's the end of your beard? Shibola Signo. The, I don't know, corners of your beard. So was there Rashi? Let's see. Shibola Zakin, Rashi. Kulan Chamesh Peo Sika Chashim Asnis and Bechal Shibola Sign. So Shibolos refers to the five corners that are listed in the Mishnah. Okay, so that's basically the corners of your beard. So it's like, we're not going into it here, but I mean, there were different shitos gone in the Mishnah, which we didn't really take up. We thought maybe the Gemara would take it up, but it's not really taking it up. So maybe at this point, let's leave it alone, but maybe at some point we should do it. Okay? But for now, the Gemara is really just saying is it means the corners, and you have to figure out what the corners are. I already talked about that earlier. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so let's leave it for now. Okay, well, maybe we'll get to it. Okay? So now the Gemara goes to the next part of the Sugya. So it says like this. V'hamisaret srit achas. Okay, so if you cut a cut. Okay, a cut. So the Mishnah had, if you cut a cut on your skin, so that's one of the cases you get malchus for, right? You cut a gash on your skin. So the Mishnah said... so Mishnah said, interesting. If you look in Mishnah Chafam and Aleph, it said a sorit shita achas al meis chayev. So if you cut a gash, you make a gash on your body, or for a mace, you're chayev. And then it says sorit shita. One second, sorit shita. Take out the word achas al chamesh mesim. If you make a cut, a gash on five relatives who die. Or five gashes for one relative, you're chayev for each and every one. In both cases, it sounds like the Mishnah is saying, you're chayev five. Okay? Okay, so the Rashi references either the Gemara. But it's a funny result. It sounds like, again, if you have five relatives who all die at the same time, right? And you do one gash on your skin for all five of them, you get five malchus. And if one relative dies and you do five separate gashes, then you're also chayav five malchus. Right? So that's what the Mishnah says. Okay, so and the Gemara is going to get into it now. But you could ask, like, Mimadashach, I don't know, right? Are you chayav for each maisa, however many maisim you do, in which case you're only doing one maisa? For five mesim, it's only one mesa. Or do you say chayev for the mesim? And then if you have one mace, then you shall only be chayev one. Right? I mean, on the surface, it's a little bit of a problem. But let's see how the Gemara takes it out. Right? The verse is like this. Tanu Rabbanan. Viseret yachol afil sard al beso shenafal. You might think, even if you gash yourself for your house which fell down, El Spino Sosha Tavayam. Or on your boat. Your boat which sunk in the sea. Right, you lost a lot of money. You might think you're still chayev. Tam lomar lenefesh eino chayev ala ha-mes. Bilvad. You're only chayev for a mes. Okay? So there's no iser or chayev of just tam making a gash. It's not a mesa iser. But it's a form of avelos. That's kind of how we defined it by the karcha also. Right? It's a form of avelos. You're not allowed to mourn in this manner. This is the way the Goyim mourn. This is not the way the Jews mourn. So it's a form of avelos. To gas yourself for a mess. But if you're not mourning, you're just stam upset because of your loss of money, that's not avelos. There's no din of avelos. So the iser is a type of avelos. Right? And halachically, if you don't have a mess, there's no avelos. Right? Right. And then arguably avelos is for, you know, I mean, loosely sometimes you could say I'm mourning for a loss of money, but the term mourning is like, you know, it's different. Mourning for a mace is mourning. Other than that, it's just sad. It's a different type of act, a different type of state of a person. Kind of making point. It's like, it doesn't say, you might think if you just gas yourself stam for no reason whatsoever, yichayev, kamash malah, no, only for avelos. It says, no, you might think if you gash yourself for your loss of money. Kamash malon, no, it has to be avelos. Right? But it seems to be taking it for granted, just stam a gash is nothing. Because that's definitely, it's a gashing out of sadness. Well, the question is, does the sadness, could it be any sadness, even money? Or it has to be avelos? It's a good point. It seems like the Havamina that is just a Maisa Isser isn't this Havamina. That might also be a Havamina. But apparently there's a further Havamina that even if it's not just the Maisa of doing it per se, and you say it has to be a triggered by some unfortunate event, you might think a sufficient monetary loss which triggers it would be good. Kamash Malah, no, it has to be the Mace in specific. Right? Sure, the Havimina is that there's a type of a cutting over a loss. That's a way some people deal with a loss. For whatever reason, psychologically, but some people, you have a loss, and the way you deal with your loss is you cut yourself. It shows how bad the loss is, or whatever it is. It's a type of grieving. Right? Now, what's the difference if the grieving is over your relative, or the grieving is over your boat? I mean, either way, it's grieving, and different people are impacted differently. I mean, you could lose $1 billion. I mean, that could be grieving like Shin Kamo. And again, you may not love your relative that much. But what's really the difference? Isn't it just quantity? So, I mean, he's saying it's not just stam cutting cause for the sake of cutting, but it's a cutting of grieving. It's a form of grieving. And the Torah is saying that's a type of a cut. And the Torah is saying that type of a cut, you're not allowed to do. So what's the difference? What's triggering it? Okay, so I'm thinking like this, is that maybe it's just more of a halachic answer, is that there is a halacha of avelos, right? Like you could mourn. There's such a thing as human mourning, and some people could mourn over the Yankees losing the World Series, and other people could mourn over a boat, and other people mourn over the family. But the point is, you see the halacha has an objective loss, an important loss, or whatever, and there's a din of avelos. So halachically, if my boat sinks and I sit on the floor, there's no kiyum of avelos, there's no din of avelos, there's no halachic maisa of avelos. It might be psychologically that's what I'm doing, and a psychologist might call it the same thing as what someone else does for their relative. And it might really be psychologically the same thing. But it's not halachically the same thing. Halachically, one is a maisa of avelos, and one is just sitting on the floor. For an interesting, good psychological reason, right? So what it's saying is that when the Torah is saying is, look, this is a form of mourning, right? This definitely is, at its core, the katz is a form of mourning. So the Torah said, halachically, it didn't just say, the Havamina is, it just says, you can't do a type of cutting. A cutting which is a cutting of grieving, a cutting of mourning. Because then the boat is also that type of cutting. But the maskana is, it's like an iser avelos. it's like, given that we have Avelos, the Torah has a system of Avelos, Torah says there's a mitzvah of how you mourn, and there's an isser how you mourn. Jews don't mourn this way. And it's like an isser in Avelos. It's like an usser form of mourning. Now, since there's no din of mourning on a boat, so there's no mitzvah of mourning on a boat, there's no isser of mourning on a boat. It's like, it doesn't have a chalosh shem Avelos unless it's on a mace. So it's like the Havamina is, it's just the type, the Avelos is more just giving the cut a quality. So then, if it's just giving it a quality of a cut, a grieving cut, it doesn't matter whether it's technical Avelos or not technical Avelos. The point is, it's what type of cut is it? It's a cutting of grieving. But the Maskana is the Avelos is actually like the address of the Isser. So it's telling you there's a prohibition about doing a certain form of mourning. And since there's no shame of Avelos of in other things, because it's no it's not objective, so therefore it's not going to violate the Isser. So the Torah limits it to lenefesh and not just to a type of cutting. It's telling you that it's a form of mourning. A little further. Okay, maybe we'll just get the facts here for next time, but let's see. So it says, Uminayin, so we're like, I guess, like 6-7 lines on the bottom. Uminayin l'masai chameh sritos al meis echad shu chayev al kol achas ve'achas. How do you know if you make 5 sritos, 5 gashes on one mace, right? You chayev fa each one? Tamilomar v'serat. The chayev al kol srito srito. It doesn't just say lo yisritu, don't cut, but v'serat, and a gash you shouldn't make for a nefesh. Right? So each and every gash is an isser. Each and every gash, even though it's only one mace, you chayev for each and every gash. Right? Rashi says, second to the lines on the bottom, the matzil mechtav l'nefesh l'sishvatu, for nefesh, you shouldn't gash. B'makom v'seret l'nefesh l'sitnu. Right? Instead it says, a seret, it's referring to the chafts of the seret. Not the action of cutting it, but the chafts of the seret. So each seret is chayiv individually. Not just, even though you might say, I'm doing like one action of cutting, doing 5 gashes for one mace, you could just look at it as one big action. But saying no, v'seret echayev for each gash, right? Okay, loshanacher. Okay, fine. Or v'seret mibur devav. Maybe it's because extra vav. Okay, so then it says Rabbi Yosi Omer minayin l'masayit srit achas al chamesh meisim shiuchayev al kol achas v'achas. How do you know that if you cut one gash for 5 meisim, that you chayev for each one, right? Tamid lomar l'nefesh. Right, linefesh, sorry, linefesh, l'chayev al kol nefesh v'nefesh, l'chayev for each and every nefesh. Right? Rashi says, by the way, Riosi Omer, Riosi Mosif Chayuvay, Riosi is adding. Sounds like he's not arguing on the previous thing, that l'chayev for each and every maisa, but he's also adding that if you do one maisa for 5 maisim, then l'chayev 5. Right? So linefesh teaches you that. Right? Linefesh. So it says, I veha afikte lebeso shenafal sinasabayam. Right? You already used that lenefesh to teach you about the boat. Right? That it's only for a dead and not for a boat. So how do you now use it to teach you this thing? Right? So Rabbi Yossi, Srita v'gdida achasi. Srita and gedida are the same thing. V'ksiv hasam l'meis, so Rei says l'meis. So it says Srita and it says gedida, it says l'meis there, so this is extra. Okay, well, that's a detail, he learns it out. But the point is, the punchline is that according to the Tanakhama, it seems you're chayiv only for each maisa. You do one maisa, you're chayiv one. You do 5 maisa, you're chayiv 5. Right? And comes along Rabbi Yossi and says, no, not only that, but even if you do one maisa, but there are 5 mesim, then you're going to be chayav 5. Right? So, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's your chayav either for each and every kat, and also for each and every mace, even if there's one kat. Right? It's like there's two. According to Rabbi Yossi, there's 2 factors. Your chayav for each kat, and for each mace. So there's 2 ways to be chayav 5. Either if you do 5 cuts for one mace, or 1 cut for 5 mace. But according to Tanakhama, you're only chayav for each cut. rather the top Rosh Rivam. So the question was, according to how does Rabbi Yossi learn it? Because the pasuk lenefesh, problem is you already used up lenefesh. Lenefesh taught you it's not for a boat. So it says l'shudig da'achas. The tervayu bein biad bein mikli. So there's a pasuk which says lo yikruchu karcha v'rosham. You're not allowed to make a. I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. Not lo yikruchu. Ufas zikanam. No. I'm sorry. No, I'm still not good. The seret lenefesh l'sitnu b'vsachem. You can't do a seret for a nefesh. And then also, so it says, lo sisko to do, lo sumikorcha ben enechem l'meis. Let's go to do. L'meis. So what's let's go do? Let's go do and kar saret are the same thing. They're both gashes. So it already says l'meis by gedida. And it says lenefesh by srita. So there are two. So Raza, they're both, and Raza, he learns that they're both the same thing. They're the exact same thing. Both of them are both with your hand or with a kli. So then that's it. Right? Okay. So that's the Raza. So that's the Raza. That's the Raza. So the Gemara is going to get into this next thing about kli or yad, srita, gedida, but I think it's like another dimension to the sugya. So I think what we have to take up now is this machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim about whether you're chayef only for each ma'isa or for each ma'isa as well. Okay? It sounds like our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. I think so.
Oh.
Right? Because, yeah. I mean, it sounds like exactly like Rabbi Yossi she does. Sounds like our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi. And it's funny because the Gemara usually would say, like, Masnis and Rabbi Yossi. But, I mean, it sounds like there's a machlokas. Tosis is, I mean, at least Rivan. It's saying Rabbi Yossi Mosif Chayuve, so it sounds like he's adding on.
He's adding on, right.
But I mean, the blame shot is, but the Tanakhama didn't hold by that. He's adding it on, but the Tanakhama didn't say that. Right? And Kesava Rabbi Yossi, it sounds like this is his thing. Right?
Right.
Sounds that way.
You need to have his thing of combining those two things in order to be able to have the word available for the Limud.
Right. Yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. So if you don't have it available, then you're not going to know it. So apparently there's room to argue, right? Yeah. Yeah, right. If you didn't have that lima, then you wouldn't have said it. So certainly I have mina, but it sounds like it's a machlokas.